Good to see you. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord tonight. And a good crowd here tonight. Well, I don't know how good you are, but it's a lot of people here. This preacher went over to preach at the prison one time. It's the first time he'd ever preached at prison. And he just wasn't sure what to say to get started. He wanted to say, my brethren, but he got to thinking. He said, a lot of these guys probably ain't saved. And then he thought he might say, well, my fellow citizens. And he said, well, some of them might have lost their citizenship. And finally he just looked out there and said, well, I just want y'all to know I'm so glad to see so many of you here. Well, I'm glad to see you here tonight. Appreciate you being in the Lord's house. Enjoyed the singing. Appreciate the good singing and fellowship we've had together. And God's surely good to us, isn't he? Yes, he is. All right, take your Bibles and turn with us tonight, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17. And we'll read a few verses and try to bring the message that we feel like the Lord has directed our heart to this evening. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Beginning in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and this is the Lord speaking to Elijah the prophet, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be in the Lord's house tonight. Again, we want to thank you for everything you've already done for us this evening. Thank you for the good singing and fellowship that we've enjoyed together. Thank you for every prayer that's been offered in this place this evening. God, we pray you'll meet every need that's represented in each heart and life here this evening. God, we pray that you might use this unworthy servant. God, help us. Speak through us, I pray. Lord, I pray you could use us as a vessel, as a channel, to say something to our hearts tonight that might draw us closer to you than we were when we came. And we want to thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to notice with me the latter part of verse number 12. This woman said, I'm gathering two sticks. You know she wasn't planning to cook much. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I want to try to preach a little while tonight, if the Lord would help me, on the thought, hold on a little longer, help is on the way. If there's ever been what we might call a hopeless situation, you find it in these verses this evening. This woman said, I want to tell you what my prospects are. She said, I'm gathering up a couple of sticks, and I'm getting ready to cook the last handful of meal I got. And me and this boy here, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. Now, I don't know if she'd maybe already talked to any relatives she had or family, if she had any other family, I don't know. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend. And maybe she's told them the kind of situation she's facing. And she may have already made arrangements for her and her boy's death. I don't know. They may have already picked out a spot for their grave. Because she said, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. You don't find a situation much more hopeless than that one is. As a matter of fact, the reason she was in that hopeless situation is because the Lord had shut the heavens. They had had no rain for over 3 years. Can you imagine what the price of cornmeal would be if there had been no rain in the land for 3 years? I don't know how many times she had been somewhere to buy some meal, but if she apparently had been for the last time. She only had a handful left. I might be talking to somebody in this building tonight that feels like you're facing a hopeless situation. It may not have anything to do with the meal that you've got in your barrel, but it might have something to do with your home life. It could be somebody in this building tonight is in a marriage situation that seems hopeless. Maybe you've done everything you know to do to try to save your marriage. Maybe you have even sought counsel, and you've done all that you feel like humanly possible that you can do, and it looks like at this point it may be hopeless. But I want to say to you tonight, just maybe hold on a little longer. Help just might be on the way. I might be talking to somebody that's involved in some kind of a ministry. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class and you're real discouraged. You don't feel like the kids are listening or paying you any mind. You feel like maybe it's time to talk to the preacher and just see probably if he can't get somebody else to teach that class. Maybe you're about ready to give up on it. Well, maybe you need to hold on a little longer. You don't know. You just don't know. I could be talking to somebody tonight that has a family member. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that's gone astray. You've prayed that they might come back to God. And in spite of all your praying, it seems like they go further away. And maybe you're here tonight and you're about ready to give up on them. The devil's told you you're wasting your time in prayer. Can I just say to you tonight, I don't know what you may be facing, what your problem is or what the difficulty is, but can I say to you tonight, hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Or what do you base that on tonight, that help might be on the way? Well, when you look at this story that we've read tonight, I think it becomes obvious that you may never know, like this little woman, you may never know who may show up at your gate. I mean, she's facing this terrible situation. I mean, she's facing starvation. And one day here comes Elijah, the man of God, and she looks up, and standing at her gate is a man that can call fire down from heaven. Here's a man that can raise the dead. I mean, here's a man that God has used to perform miracle after miracle. And all of a sudden, she looks and there he stands at her gate. You don't ever know who may show up at your gate. God may have somebody prepared to show up in your life that you never expected to show up, and they may have the very answer that you've sought for so long. You know, if there's anybody in the Bible probably that ever had a reason to be bitter in life, it was probably Joseph. He was a man that was hated by his own brethren. He was sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, he was bought and paid for by a man named Potiphar, who was captain of the guard. And Joseph served Potiphar in his own house. We don't know for how long, but in the process of time, you remember how that Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph was put in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. Can you imagine how he felt there day after day in that prison house, knowing he was an innocent man, knowing that he came from a noble family, and how that he was hated and despised. But instead of being bitter, he just kept walking with God. And the Lord blessed him. Everything he put his hand to, God blessed him. But then one day, so unexpectedly, here come a butler and a baker from Pharaoh's palace. Both men had been accused. Both men had a dream one night. They didn't know how to interpret it. And Joseph said, "Tell me what your dream is. It just might be God might tell you what's going on here." And they told Joseph their dream. And Joseph interpreted their dreams. And in their dreams, it so happened that God had the butler restored to his former position. And Joseph informed the baker that in 3 days, he was going to be hung. And just like Joseph said, is how it happened. And Joseph told the butler, he said, "Now, don't you forget me when you go back to Pharaoh." And when he went back to Pharaoh, he forgot him. 2 more long years went by. But then one night, Pharaoh had a dream. He couldn't find anybody around there could interpret that dream. Finally, the old butler come to his senses and he said, "Wait a minute, Pharaoh. When I was down in the prison house, I met a young man. And that young man interpreted my dream. And I believe he's the man you need to get up here now." And friend, I'm going to tell you, you know the rest of the story. I'm saying to you, God got Joseph out of that prison house, put him next in line to Pharaoh, and delivered his family, restored the fellowship there. I mean, the rest of his life was a whole different story. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, you never know who might show up at your gate. It might be somebody that's got the very answer that you've been looking for. Look over in the book of Acts, chapter number 3, right quick tonight. Acts chapter number 3. In Acts chapter number 3 and in verse number 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Here was a man, helpless and hopeless, daily. Somebody got him, laid him at the gate of the temple, hoping to receive a few coins. And all of a sudden, one day, a couple of preachers came by, amen. Peter and John, they were heading toward the temple, and they saw him lying there. He saw them as they came, and like always, he asked for an alms. Maybe he had an old cup or something and held it out, hoping somebody would just toss a few coins in the cup. And he cried out for an alms, and Peter that day looked on him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And I'm going to tell you, that very moment, God put strength in his ankle bones, and that man rose up and leaping and walking and praising God and glorifying him. When he got up that morning, he had no idea who was going to show up at his gate. He had no idea that God was going to send two preachers down there that day, and that from that moment on, his life would never be the same. Would never be the same. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, hold on a little longer. Your situation might seem as hopeless as this little widow woman gathering two sticks, just waiting to die. But here, I'm saying to you this evening, did you walk out of this building tonight? You may not have any idea, but God may have somebody show up at your door that you never expected. He can do it. He can do it. Then I want to say, secondly, hold on a little longer, because you never know how big your little bit might become. You know, until Elijah got there, everything they talked about was small. When he got there, she was gathering sticks. And he said, I pray, bring me a little water in a vessel. And then he said, I pray thee, bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, I don't have a cake now. She said, but he said, she said, all I got is just a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering two sticks, she said. He said, well, make me a little cake first. Everything's little. It's small. It's a morsel. It's two sticks. A handful. But you read on down a little ways, and all of a sudden, this barrel starts producing meal. It doesn't say that God filled the barrel up all at one time, but it seems to indicate that every time she went back to the barrel, there was a handful. And when she went back the next time, there was another handful. And she thought she got the last handful the last time, but when she went back, there was another handful. and Elijah and her and the boy, they ate for many days out of that barrel. I'm telling you tonight, your situation may look so small. It may seem so little. It might look plumb hopeless. But you never know how big your little bit might become. You turn over a chapter and you read where that Elijah has faced the prophets, false prophets on Mount Carmel, and has destroyed all 850 of them. And he pronounces that he hears the sound of abundance of rain coming after 3.5 years of drought. And so he sends his servant down to the seaside to look for the rain. And he comes back. He says, I don't see nothing. He said, well, go back. Matter of fact, he said, go back 7 times. And he went back and there's nothing. He went back and there's nothing. But finally he come back and he said, I saw a cloud over there. A little cloud. About the size of a man's hand. He said, whoop! He said, you better look out. Get down off this mountain. He said, praise God, there's a storm coming. And in just a little while, I'm telling you, there's a storm like they'd not seen for many days. That little cloud about the size of a man's hand become a big storm, amen. A big wind, a big rain. I'm telling you, that little bit turned into a whole lot. About like that little lad over there in John chapter 6. He had 5 barley loaves, 2 little fishes. And they said, what is that among so many? There was 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Jesus said, have them all sit down. And then Jesus said, let me have that fish and bread. He said, son, let me have that, would you? You see, the key to it all was getting it out of his hand and getting it in Jesus' hand. The same thing in different hands can bring different results. As long as it stayed in the boy's hand, it never would be anything but 5 loaves and 2 fish. But once he got it in Jesus' hands, and Jesus took it, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he started passing it out, and he gave it to his disciples, and they started passing it out among the multitude, it all started multiplying, amen. And when the Bible said they were all filled, it didn't say they all got a taste. But when they were all filled, they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that remained. That little bit, all of a sudden, become a whole lot. Oh, if we could get our little bit into his hand somehow. The same thing in different hands brings a different result. You know, when I was in school, the one class I always hated the worst of all was art class. You are looking at a man that has absolutely zero artistic ability. Yes, sir. I couldn't even draw, I couldn't even successfully draw a stick man. Guarantee you. You could hand me an easel and a canvas, and you could give me the most expensive art brushes money can buy, and you could give me the most, I mean, just the best paint, and you could say, now, paint a barn. And when I got done, you would have absolutely no idea what it was. But you could give that same paint and paintbrushes to a real artist, like that artist that, well, he's dead now, but you remember Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light, oh, he could paint so beautiful. You could put those brushes and that paint in his hands. Oh, and it would look so different than what I could put up there. Same paint, same brush, same canvas. Different hand. Different hands. Different hands. Oh, we're talking about the difference in my hand and his. Oh, yes. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know what your situation might be. You may be trying to figure out right now how in the world you're going to make ends meet. You don't know what you're going to do. But I'm telling you, hold on a little longer. You don't know who may show up at your gate. You never know how big that little bit you got might become if you get it in his hand. Then let me give you this. Hold on a little longer. You don't know what surrendering your all to the Lord might do. After all of this wonderful miracle that took place, and God made the meal barrel to last for many, many days, her son died. Her son died. He died. And she was so upset, and she came to Elijah and she said, "What are you trying to do to me? Are you trying to bring up something out of my past? What's going on?" She said, "I brought you in my home, and you've stayed here with us, and now my boy's dead. Is that what I get?" And he said, "Give me your son." This boy was everything to her. But now he's dead. But he said, in other words, in God's realm of working, it still ain't too late. Give me your son. He may be dead, but he's all she's got left. But what has she got to lose? He's already dead. Give me your son. What about your ministry? Maybe he says, "Give me your ministry. Give me your marriage. Give me your son. Give me your daughter. Give me your husband. Give me your wife. Give me your brother. Give me that problem. Give me that situation. Let me have it." And when she gave it to him, he took him upstairs, laid across him and prayed. And guess what? The Bible says the breath came into him again. Hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Because you never know who may show up at your gate. You never know how big that little bit you got might become. You never know what giving your all to Him might do. You never know when a new breath may come from God. You know, serving the Lord is not all a path of roses, you know. Serving God is in season and out of season. Serving God is not always in season. It's not always springtime in the house of God. The flowers are not always blooming and the birds are not always singing. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes the skies are gray and the north wind's blowing. Spiritually, you'll just about get shivers in the house of God sometimes. But just hold on a little longer, because you never know when some morning you gather here and meet, God may just come by and walk through them back doors and stand in this congregation and say, and a new breath may come. And that's all it takes. God, I'm going to tell you the importance of coming to church. Sometimes, when God is moving in an unusual way in a church service, I've known people that had real problems that got more accomplished in their life in 5 minutes in church than they could accomplish in years prior to that. Just in one church service, God can straighten out more problems in one service where the wind's blowing and God's breathing. He can straighten out more in your life in a moment than you can get straightened out in 40 years. You don't want to miss, because you never know when a new breath might come. Wonder how Thomas really felt when they told him, you know, Thomas, you missed Sunday night, didn't you? Yeah. Well, guess what? Guess who showed up Sunday night? Guess who walked right through the door? I mean, he didn't even have to open the door. He just walked right through the door. Guess who come? Jesus. Jesus just walked right through the door and there he stood. Oh, Thomas said, I don't believe no such thing as that. You know, have you ever wondered about that? You tell somebody that's been laying out of church how good it was, they ain't going to believe you. You can't get them to believe you. He said, I'll tell you what. If I can put my hands in the nail prints, thrust my hand up in his side, he said, I'll believe it then. Well, he showed up the next time, and so did Jesus. And he walked right straight up to Thomas. He said, Thomas, put your fingers in the nail prints. Put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. And old Thomas said, my Lord, my God. I'm telling you, you never know when a new breath might come. You never know when he's going to walk in. He said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. You say, well, I didn't see him. No, not with the natural eye. But I'm going to tell you something. When he shows up, you know it. Let me give you this and I'm done. Hold on a little longer. You never know who will show up at your gate. You never know how big your little might become. You don't know what giving your all to God might do. You never know when a new breath may come. And you never know what kind of legacy you may leave behind. Listen, how many people you reckon has been helped by this little woman's story? How many people down through the years have read about that meal barrel and been blessed and been helped and had their faith strengthened to believe God? You don't know what kind of legacy you may leave behind. I just want to encourage you tonight. Listen, every one of us in this building are people with problems. Man that's born a woman's a few days and full of trouble. There ain't a person in here tonight don't have a difficulty of some kind. But I'm just saying to you tonight, don't despair. Don't give up. There ain't no telling who might be standing at your gate tomorrow morning. I don't know. But I'm telling you one thing, when you're dealing in the realm of God Almighty, with Him, nothing is impossible. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful to be in your house tonight. We thank you for all you've done in our hearts this evening. Thank you for the presence of your people with us. Oh God, thank you for the songs that we've heard and the prayers that have been prayed. Thank you for all these different churches that have come in and helped support the meeting tonight. I pray you'd work in every one of our lives tonight, oh Lord. God, help us. Lord, there are times when we look at the mountains that lie before us. Lord, we feel like there's no way we can cross them. But, oh God, the things that seem impossible with us, Lord, they're possible with you. So, Lord, help us tonight. Meet the need for every heart, every life, every situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing. I don't know what your heart need is tonight, but God knows. But maybe you just need to come and give it to Him. Maybe there's something in your life tonight. You just need to give it to Him. This woman's boy was dead. Elijah said, give him to me. Let me have him. He said, give him to me. Give him to me. Let me have him. Maybe you got a need that you just need to let Him have it. Just give it to Him. Just let it go and give it to Him. Let Him have it. Oh, let Him have it.
Several have come tonight and get on this altar and do business with God. How about you tonight? Obey the voice of the Lord. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him meet your need. All of us that are saved know that just one encounter with the Lord can be a life-changing encounter. Because we've had that before. Had it when we got saved. Perhaps you've had some times of revival in your life. In a church service or some other way, the Lord just showed up. What a difference it makes. Obey the voice of the Lord tonight. Be receptive and responsive to what God's doing in your heart. Trusting. one of the hardest things we do, but trust Him. Trust the Lord with it. Trust Him that change can come, will come. Cast your care upon Him, knowing He careth for you. The Lord cares. Peter went through some hard times, but he knew that. He wrote it. The Lord cares. The Lord hadn't forgot you. The Lord wants to help in His timing. But keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep trusting. Walking with Him until that time comes. Don't despair. That's the message of the devil. Despair. Give up. Quit. Stop praying. Stop trying. That's not the message we've heard tonight from the Lord. You keep trusting Him. You keep walking with Him. You keep following Him. And just that one day, that one encounter, that one service, that one time the Lord showing up changes it all. Look this way. Thank you tonight. Brother, I appreciate that message tonight. I tell you, God's Word, nothing like it. Amen. Aren't you glad you came tonight and heard the Word of God? I think you got some help tonight, right? And God, and the Lord knows how to build up the hope when the hope seems gone, right? And He's reminded us tonight. That woman, they'll say a couple of times right there in her life, the Lord showed up, right? And sometimes He shows up and might go for a season. You know, the devil will show up too and go away for a season and come back. But anyway, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That was a blessing. And I hope you got, again, something out of that.